Matthew chapter 19, please. If I can have two men help me, that would be nice. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Matthew chapter 19, please. Thank you, Cliff. Matthew chapter 19, please. Mrs. Warren, I'm going to ask you a historical question, so have your history mind on. Not hysterical, historical. It's an easy part. It is. No, what year was, what age was your mother when she got married? You know that. All right, everybody got notes almost? All right, let's stand, please. Now, before I even read the passage, let's address our childishness. You know what child, by the way, do you know what children are like? Do you know what children are like? You know, we got two children near our house. I won't mention Jesse and his brother's name. I love them, but they're children. So if you go to a restaurant, what do they like? I don't like any of that. That's what children do. Yeah, mac and, oh. Do we have a testimony right here? Pastor Kowak, do we have a testimony? Now you say, what are you saying? Please look at me. Tonight I'm going to speak, and next Sunday night, Lord willing, on singleness. Two-thirds of the people in this room think, well, I'm married. This doesn't apply to me. Are you a child? I'm asking you a question. Are you a child? Everything in the Bible has something to do with you. You say, I'm married. I'm not asking you to become single. But you are going to be a role model. Look, you are going to be a role model of the scripture, or you're not. And we do have single people here. What do you tell them? When I was here in the 70s, the pastor, no criticism, he was a marriage guy. All single people needed to get married as soon as possible. That's one view of things. That's not my view, and I don't think it's a biblical view. So look at me in the eyes. People that are married, you are the person I'm speaking to tonight, because you're going to talk or be around our many young people that are not married, and they're going to get the idea, should I get married this week? Because God knows I'm ancient. I'm 18 and a half. Or we have some ladies and men that aren't married. Are they lesser people? Well, I will tell you this. The average church in the past has thought of single people as lesser people, which is another unbiblical idea. So tonight, do you understand all of you that check out? By the way, I had people checking out of Sunday school this morning before I began. I don't even think they know what I talked about in general. Tonight's easy. We'll be done in 35 minutes. It's real simple, except the first 4 points. And if you don't get the first 4 points, you should just stand up and hit the door. Because the first 4 points are the most obvious. And they're about singleness. I'm not going to read the whole text because of time. Obviously, Matthew 19, verse 3 starts with Jesus. They're attempting to trap Jesus. Yes or no? Do I need to repeat this like over and over? They're trying to trap Jesus in the divorce issue, the marriage issue. I'm not going to go back to that. At the end of this, starting in verse 10, please. His disciples, after he says, marriage is for life. You might get out of it, but remarriage is a problem, and it's very, very, very limited. The disciples say, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is good not to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying. What saying? The saying they just said, it's good not to marry.
save they to whom it is what? Given. Verse 12. For there are some, and by the way, then eunuchs becomes a major stumbling block. A eunuch is a very, you say it's specific, we'll talk about what it means. But he says there are some people who are eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. He doesn't really get into the details. And some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And, oh, by the way, let me give you a eunuch of men. Everybody look up here. China's had a one-child policy. Yes or no? You don't know what that means because most of us don't read widely. China right now has 50 million more single males than women available. 50 million. Which means what? They're going to have a whole lot of males that never marry. That's a mess. They not only wanted to have one child, they wanted to have one male child. Mm-hmm. All right. And then it says, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able, or she that is able to receive it, let him receive it. We're going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to say things that I'll be honest with you. Some of you will just be out there going, the only thing that's important really is the introduction, because the introduction's where we live. And I really think that we need to get the introduction. Okay, let's pray together. Father, help me to be able to share and communicate very simple ideas. Nothing, nothing, nothing is deep. Bless, I ask, and help in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I used to collect marriage jokes. I quit collecting them. One of the earliest jokes I ever heard on marriage is this. Marriage is the only institution where everybody on the inside wants to get on the outside, and everybody on the outside wants to get on the inside. So if you're here and you're single and you're a younger person or not so young and you're just dying to get married, just think about this. For every one of you that's dying to get married, there's other people dying to get unmarried. It is a truth. So what do we think about being single? What is this? I'm going to give you four facts. And by the way, you all know what a fact is? It's not an opinion. It's a fact. One of them will blow you away. And I think some of you haven't ever thought about it. Number one, Jesus and Paul were single. Did you know that? You call yourself a Christian and a follower of Christ. That doesn't mean you need to be single. I just stated that Jesus and Paul were what? So when you look at people and say, well, that person, what's wrong with them? Why aren't they married? Would you say that to Paul? Paul, what's your problem? Why are you single? Well, he kind of tells us, and that'll be next Sunday night in 1 Corinthians 7. Number two, I'm going to say this is really deep. All of us start single. Yes? All right, Pachunga, how old were you when you got married? You were 21. So for 21 years of your life, you were single. And how many years have you been married? For 39 years of your life, you've been happy. Correct? I'm not going to ask Dada if he's been happy. I'm just asking you. I don't need to ask him. I know he's happy. All right. Do you realize that we all start single, yes or no? All right, I'm going to give you a name. Are you guys ready for this name? Betty Kohler. You know who Betty Kohler is? Chaplain? How about this name, Betty Booth? That's my mother-in-law. She died how long ago, Jenny? Last November at age 96 plus. She was how old when she got married? Some of you, by the way, you got to do the math because I think you're going to miss the point. She got married at how old? 23. So for 23 years of her life, she was single. Are you with me? Now we're going to the point three. I'm going to say these again. Jesus and Paul were? All of us? Is that true? Does anybody start married? I don't think. Number three. We ought to know this. Some, maybe most, will end up single. Yes or no? By the way, Tim, do you know anybody that pretty much died at the same time? You know two couples, because I know both of them too, that pretty much died the same week. How common is that? They were both, one was from Maranatha, the music folks. What's their names? The Boodles. By the way, they both died of COVID more or less the same week. Maybe even the same day. By the way, how often does that happen? All right, are you guys ready? Are you ready for this? Betty Kohler got married and became Betty Booth at age 23. She spent 23 years of her life single. She married, and her husband, Jenny's dad, died when your mom was 38. She lived to 96. Now, do you do math well? 23 plus nearly 60 years, she was single more than 80 years of her life. Do you know most people this is true of? My mother just reminded me that she had an anniversary, an anti-anniversary. My mother was married 64 years, and the anti-party is dad has been gone 10 years, so she said to me, it would be 74 years if dad was still alive. So my mom was 17 years single, married 64 years, and then she was now single 10 more years. Friend, look at me. The foolishness of Christians that wants to take a young person and get them married off before they have a job, before they have an education, before they even know their name, we have that in church because we tend to think being single is somehow bad. Once you understand kind of the most important person in Christianity, the Lord Jesus, and Paul were both single, and that we all start single, we'll all end single. I cannot believe that your mother was single, not quite 80 years, but close to that, when you add the two ends. My great-grandmother was widowed in 1946. She died in 1974, so she was widowed almost 30 years. My great aunt Opal, not her oldest daughter, but about number three, two or three. My great aunt Opal went to church with my mother. I do not know when she was widowed. I only know this. When my mom and dad got married in 1949, she was widowed. When she died in 2003, she was still a widow, which means 50-something years she was single on the other end. So friend, all of your delusions about marriage needs to stop. And you need to stop with your kids trying to marry them off when they're 16. I'm nervous. When we recognize singleness is not an abnormal state, many people are single. All right. You ready? By the way, has everybody got the facts? By the way, do you understand what a fact is? There's no discussion. Jesus and Paul were... We all start, and many of us will end single. Now, God forbid that happens to you. It would be very nice, Tim. I think for a lot of couples, their dream would be we die the same day. What are your chances of that happening? Very small, very small. All right, number four. This is the hardest one for some people. All will be single in eternity. Did you all hear that? Everybody. So if you're asking me, Pastor Warren, what is your view of being single? I start with four simple facts. Jesus was single. Paul was single. We all start single. Many of us will end single. Hopefully it's not for 30 years, but man, there are people, like I say, Jenny's mom outlived her husband almost 60 years. That's insanity. Single. And all of us will end single. All right, I don't want to deep dive into the Sadducee passage. I'm going to let you do that. But the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They tried to trap Jesus. We'll talk about it in a few weeks in Matthew 22. They tried to trap Jesus in this retarded thing about wives and stuff. So in verse 34 in your notes, 20 verse 34, you have some really nice Greek where you have this kind of Greek. This world, that world.
It's a pointing. Tutas, this one. Kainos, that one. And boy, Jesus just points. So read with me, verse 34.
Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world are, more properly in modern English, this age. Marry and are given in marriage, of course. It's the norm. It's what's appropriate. That's what we do. But then he goes on to say, but they which are accounted worthy obtain that world or that age. Aionos means age. It's not talking about the globe. So those that are part of that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. And I think verse 36 kind of gives you the reasoning. Neither can they die anymore. We don't need children because we will live forever. We don't have to reproduce the race, so to speak. We will live forever. So in some way, friend, all of us will be single in eternity.
Now, everyone look at me. I'm just going to say this briefly because I don't know. I do not know this answer. I have run into Christians that ask this intelligent question. Will we know one another in heaven? And I always preferred the old answer I heard from an old preacher when he looked over, and I didn't understand why he did this at the time.
I understand now. He's looking over his glasses, and he said, do you think we'll be dumber in heaven than we are now? It isn't that we won't know people and have relationships, but the idea of marriage will no longer be part of eternity. It won't have that need.
Now, I want to say this as best I can. I don't think heaven will be lesser, or we're going to say, I just really miss being married. I think actually heaven will be much closer. 1 Corinthians 13 says, we will know even as we are known. And the words are not just gnosis, but epigenosis. We will fully know even as we are fully known. The idea being is heaven will actually be richer experience than earth. But we won't be married in the same way that we are now, having children. All right. Are you all with me? How does this impact you? See Tim over here? Tim's a good-looking guy. Is Tim a good-looking guy? Can I have an amen? I got one person saying yes, Anderson. I don't know if Anderson's opinion's good or not. I think Tim's a good-looking guy. By the way, what's my recommendation for him marriage? Finish your master's degree at Maranatha, buddy. And then we can start discussing it. I think we rush people into marriage because, look at me, you're teaching people something every day. You walk up to a single person and, why aren't you married? Oh, what's wrong with you? When Jesus and Paul were single, we all start single, we'll almost all end single, and in eternity we'll be single. Why are we fixated on marrying kids off when they're not 16, but sometimes it seems like it.
Now, by the way, I'm happy when somebody gets married. I'm very happy. I don't want to go to the wedding.
You say, well, I hate weddings. My least favorite thing to do on earth is go to a wedding. What man likes a wedding? Oh, did you see the color? Oh, shut up. No man cares about the color of what people are wearing.
We want to get to that meal if there's a meal. All right. Jesus and singleness. Now we'll pick up with this. Nothing deep here, friend. Number one, singleness, according to Jesus, is not the norm. It's not the norm. In this age, by the way, why is it not the norm? Because God created us what?
With the idea that we marry and propagate the race. That's the difference in eternity. We won't have to propagate because we'll live forever, but the whole idea is it's not the norm. It's not the norm. It's never going to be the norm, and it shouldn't be the norm. So you say, I have 5 children or 2 children. Should they get married? Well, probably, normally, yes. But singleness is not wrong. Number two, Jesus teaches us that singleness is good. It's good.
Both Paul and Jesus emphasize this. Matthew 19. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Or some modern translations say it's better not to marry. Jesus does not disagree with that. He says, but he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given, but to those to whom it is given. Singleness is a good thing. Nothing wrong with singleness. Never been anything wrong with being single. Now, I say in your notes, and this is just very quick, there's been an endless war about singleness. Some like prefer the word better. Being single is better for whom? Well, Roman Catholics teach it's better. They teach if you're going to be a priest, you have to be single, even though there's a debate now. For the first time, let me just say this. Everybody look up here. Since the Reformation, I know most people in this room don't have knowledge of history. Before the Reformation, many priests, the lower level people, were they married? They had concubines. They had families. They had children. The Reformation just solidified absolutely priests can't marry. Now, up until recently, that was okay in most places in the world. Until now, most priests are gay, are messed up, and a lot of people are saying, why don't we let married people become priests? By the way, in the Orthodox Church, on the lower levels, you can be married. But the Roman Catholic Church has always taught that it's somehow more spiritual. It's better if you're single. The Bible never says it's better in that sense. For all of you that are interested, we've even had groups of ascetics. And Hannah Whitall Smith, the founder of Keswick, and a whole bunch of those filthy people, I use the term advisedly, believed in basically being single while married, which is an abomination. And I will not go any further than simply saying they believed in being single while married. Do I need to spell that out? I'm not going to spell it out. Some people, and I would say that's most of us, think it's worse for many. Almost like it's wrong, evil, bad, sinful, weird, or strange. The real question that we need to ask is anytime you hear the word, this is good, your next question should be, good for what? Obviously. So if I say, or Jesus says, and Paul says it much more clearly, singleness is good. It's not a better thing, it's not a worse thing, but it's a good thing. We would have to ask, good for what? That kind of makes sense. In Matthew 19:12, he talks, next page, he says, you can be single for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Now, friends, I've been pastor here a long time. I have never had this here, but in St. Louis, I did. When I got to our church in St. Louis and I became the pastor, you know, it's just like in Lake County when I first came here, there were certain people's names you always heard. Mr. Losey was the legend in those days. You know, you got to meet Mr. Losey this, Mr. Losey that. In St. Louis, it was someone that was not a member of our church, was the legend. Now, she was the legend because of her testimony. And I can remember some people telling me, sooner or later, she's going to invite you to her house and she's going to tell you her testimony. Miss Kellison was 80s. For all of you that are out there playing on your phones, or Tom up there, you can Google it. Her name was Garland Kellison. She has a grade school named after her, and I can't, is it the Rockville, the Rock, some kind of school district in West St. Louis County? Garland Kellison was her name. I met her in her 80s. Miss Kellison, when she walked in the door, she was perfect. She was old, 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 old school. When I got there, she was the principal, are you ready, of two separate grade schools. And since that wasn't enough work for her to do, she also taught college prep English in the high school, and she had done this for 50 to 60 years. That woman was sharp. Well, you know what her testimony was? Back in the 30s, she met a guy, very wealthy guy, big money guy. He wanted to marry her because she was a sharp woman, very sharp, you know, smart, intelligent, diligent, etc. And he wanted to marry her, and they came, and she wanted to marry him. There was only one problem. For her, remember, this is the dark. Tim, this is out of your even possible knowledge. Actually, for most people in this room, it's past our knowledge because this would be my grandparents' generation. In those days, teachers normally didn't marry. And if they did marry, they stopped teaching. And he said to her, if you want to continue, you know, if you marry me, you're going to have to stop teaching. And she said, oh, no, God called me to teach. So she never married.
Not because she was ugly, weird, strange. She just had a calling. So when I met her, this was her life. She was principal of one grade school, principal of another grade school, taught English AP classes, and she didn't come to our church except on Sunday night. And then after I was there for a while, she came on Wednesday because she realized she liked the academic side. You say, where did she go on Sunday morning? Joseph, you're going to love it. She attended and was a member of the United Church of Christ. You say, by the way, which is one of the most liberal denominations in America. Why did she go there? She told me right up front, she says, I believe, she didn't say believe. She says the pastor's not a believer. They're a liberal church. They don't believe the gospel. And she said, God put me there to be the evangelist. That idiot liberal allowed her to teach Sunday school. So what she taught was the gospel every week. And when she came to our church, is it true? She would have a whole group of people with her from the same church because they were people that had gotten saved. When Miss Kellison finally died, and she finally died somewhere in her 80s, she had already trained the next guy that was going to teach the Sunday school class to preach the gospel in that liberal church. And you say, what is that? Do you all understand? She became a eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I'm not going to marry because I love teaching students. That's what God created me to do. I'm going to teach. I'm going to supervise. I'm going to run these grade schools. I'm going to teach English. And she did that until she got too old. And it was a long time. I mean, she was there a long time. And then she was on the school board. And that lady taught that Sunday school class at that liberal church, came to our church on Sunday night until she died. Can I ask you a question? Was it okay for her to be single? Why do we look at people like they're weird if they're single? What's wrong with you? I would ask you, if you're asking that question, what's wrong with you? All right. Let's go on to the point number three, please. We come to the hard part. We'll talk about it tonight. We'll talk about it more next week. Singleness is good if we are so gifted. And Jesus is very, very clear about that. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying. I would say most men and women, it's not talking about men like males. I don't think most people are supposed to be single. So Jesus is saying, yep, singleness is good, but it's not for most people. All people can't receive this saying. Save or accept they to whom it is given. Otherwise, it is something given to the person. And the hard question is, what does it mean to have the gift? So everybody look at me. Do you have like a gift you put in your pocket and say, I'm the gifted to be single? I don't think that's the answer. We'll talk more about that next week. I think it's a hard thing, and I'm going to preview next week. I don't think necessarily people need to be single for life. We have a missionaries. Their name are the Hendersons. You ever heard of them? Some of you. I'm pretty sure the wife was single for a long, long time. We'll talk about that next week. I do believe that some people are so gifted in one way or another to not be married. Paul talks about that a little bit more. Number four, the giftedness for singleness, according to Jesus, is understood and recognized through life. It's not that all of a sudden you wake up one day and say, look, I got a gift, I can be single, or I have a gift, I can be married. No, life itself, the circumstances, choices, etc., tell you. So read the verse with me. For there are some eunuchs, now we'll talk about what that means in a moment, which are so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So what is a eunuch? Well, a eunuch has several meanings or ideas in the Bible. It could be, first of all, very simply a castrated male. And that is a very big thing in the ancient world. Usually that was done in infancy or very, very close to that. And you were not born that way, but it pretty much you were that way just as a young man. In the Old Testament, this is funky. Everybody with me? Sometimes eunuch is not used of a castrated male. It's just used of, I say in your notes, some form of an official servant. Sometimes that was the same person. Sometimes you're not really sure, which is which. Sometimes it was just an official servant.
It could also be used of someone not married. And it could also, number four, it's not numbered, maybe not able to marry for whatever reason. Just not a kind of person that, for whatever reason, that can get married. So he tells us three ways this can happen. The first way, I'm going to say this, is simply by life, and then I have in parentheses because I'm a, yes, I believe in the sovereignty of God, God's choices and circumstances. It could simply be a person never marries because God doesn't make them to get married for whatever reasons. It could be physical, it could be non-physical, but in some way they're a eunuch in the sense that God never made them to be married, and God makes choices and God's put circumstances. So everybody look at me. You're in China, you're a man, you're one of the 50, how many? Million men. You're not getting married. If you become a Christian, isn't going to change anything. The circumstances of life that God either caused or allowed, you're not getting married. That is something that happens. That's God's choices. Secondly, by mankind's choice and circumstances. And there's a multiplicity of this. Mankind's choices and circumstances. Most of you know I'm a Navy guy, but not a serious Navy guy. I'm not like Louis or Cliff or Robert or Dodd. I'm not a serious Navy guy. You say, how much have you been on a ship? I spent years on a ship in my mind. I have spent, listen, in my whole lifetime, I was 6 years in the Navy. My whole career in the Navy on a ship consisted of, when was it, Cliff? One day, one morning, I was on your ship in Japan. And by the way, after going on that ship, I never wanted to be on another ship. First of all, this body is too big to go down those holes. And there's not enough, and those racks, I now finally understand Dada when he sleeps. He looks like a mummy from Egypt. You say, why is that? Because they have this much room. There's only a small problem. This thing here is bigger than that much room. I don't know how you guys even get in those racks. No idea. Can I say this to you? If a man was a submariner, I'm asking you a question, for 20 years, I'm asking a hard question, and I'm not going to give you an answer. Should a man get married? Well, yeah, because everybody has to get married today. Okay? Sometimes it's by mankind's choice or circumstances. And, of course, sometimes we'll get to that in a moment. Next, it can also be our own choices and circumstances. Either we just don't get married for various reasons. There were two professors at Faith Baptist Bible College. Why can't I remember their names? I have books by one of the guys. When I became a pastor in St. Louis, I started going to Covenant Seminary, and when I went there, there was this guy that they would say, oh, you're one of those guys. Because they weren't used to meeting educated guys that could read and write that were from our circles, frankly. And there was a guy that was a legend. Who were those two brothers? Do you know, Tim? Houghtons. Yes, Myron, and there's a brother. One was single, one was married. By the way, the single guy was married to academics. He had four or five doctorates from various schools, or doctorate equivalent. Do you know how many people have two doctorates? Excuse me, academic doctorates. He had one from the Orthodox Church. He had one from a Catholic church. He got a doctorate in St. Louis from the Lutheran Seminary. He went to Covenant Seminary, which didn't have a doctorate. The guy was a genius. He was married. He's the guy that Fred Moritz loved him. Fred, when he would go to Faith, Dr. Moritz would go there and stay with him. And he said, but the problem was he didn't know how to cook. He was married to academics. Oh, by the way, he's the guy, I've told you this story. It's my favorite story. He says, I went into his kitchen, and I'm just looking for stuff, and I just, for whatever reason, you know, you're in a kitchen. He says, I just opened the oven. In the oven were books. I mean, he was married to academics. By the way, Myron was one of the profs. His brother was there, and they both died recently. Here's what's weird.
Dr. Moritz would tell you Myron was just a genius. But he married this. By the way, friends, some people become single because it's not just I can be single, it's I'm married to this. So let's tell you two stories. She told the story. If they get to come back, I'm going to have them tell you the story. Jack Henderson. Jack Henderson went to Bob Jones University 60-odd years ago, or thereabouts. Jack Henderson his name was Anderson Tupper. Not a bad person, just a goofball. Is that about accurately describe Anderson? Or is he a bad person too, Tim? Go ahead and tell me. Anyhow, Jack Henderson was just, you're not a bad guy, but just kind of a troublemaker. You know, he met this girl, he kind of liked her, but God had called her to be a missionary. And Jack Henderson wanted to mess around, goof off, and be silly. So she cut it off with him. She didn't have a clue what happened. Back in, by the way, even when I went to college, you don't know what happened to anybody. So you know the story. He then married a lady, and he spent 30-plus years in Veracruz, which is the only state in Mexico that I absolutely would never want to be part of, because it's not only hot, it's humidity about 90% every day. He spent 30-plus years planting churches. And at the end, somewhere between 30 and 40 years, his wife dies of cancer. Our church has supported them since the 70s. He comes home. I don't know, he's visiting a church, and somebody says, you know, there's a woman that's single. You know how people are. It was that woman that had cut him off 50 years before, or 40 years before. He meets. Somehow they meet. She connects. She's been a missionary in the Caribbean for years and years and years. She's come home to take care of her elderly parents. They get married, and our missionaries are people where the wife was single for most of her life. Iva Dean Henderson. In my church in St. Louis, I had two happy couples in marriage. When I say happy, I mean two people that were just way over the top happy. A lot of folks had good marriages, but two were just crazy. One of them was Steve Schmidt and his wife. I'll say no more about Steve and his wife. But one of them was a man that was his second wife. I remember him looking at me. He was 88 years old the last time I saw him. He looked at me. He couldn't see me because he had the macular degeneration. But Ray looked at me, and he said, you know, Pastor, I've had the two best wives ever. His first wife died in the 70s from heart disease. She'd had like three open hearts in the 60s when they did axe surgery. She died, and guess what? Ray Brown met a woman named Hazel. Ray was 60, and Hazel was 50. She had never been married. They had 20 years together, and I mean, you almost like wanted to get your hand, quit doing that. They were like teenagers. It was a beautiful thing to see. By the way, friend, I don't know that this is a permanent condition, but some people make choices. In your notes, I'm not going to focus on this. I'm just going to touch on this next week. Next week, we will touch on this in heavy ways. Because I think, look at me, everyone, I don't think you're reading the Bible very well. I think if I asked you right now who in the Bible was never married, most of you would have no idea of anybody. I asked you a question, do we have examples of the three possibilities? Well, we have two really big examples, obviously. The first one, that were born eunuchs, that's a little more difficult. B, you ever heard of a guy? Are you ready? Daniel? Did you notice Daniel never married? Did you notice Daniel never had children? Did you notice Daniel, when he went, that doesn't get into the nitty-gritty, but Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were in the house of the eunuchs. They were controlled by eunuchs, which probably tells you they had been castrated as men. They were single. By the way, did they do okay serving the Lord? Yes or no? You see, part of our problem is we read the Bible in weird ways. We're not reading what's there. So some of the heroes of the Bible, Daniel, is never married. And my guess is he couldn't be married. Well, how about C? Well, we've already talked about two of those in the Bible. I think one's named Jesus and one's named Paul. So people that were made eunuchs are people that not physically made themselves eunuchs, But before the kingdom of God's sake or the kingdom of heaven's sake, they decided not to marry because being single was better.
I say in your notes, and I've already said this, remember, this might not be a lifetime calling. So everyone look at me. You in a hurry to get married? Please don't be in a hurry. Let me say this too. Please don't not be in a hurry. Do what's right. Follow the Lord. Look at me, friend. Most of our problems happen with our own children because we're teaching them foolishness. You need to be in a relationship. No, you don't need to be in a relationship. You should grow up. Next week, we'll talk more about this in Paul's letters. I'm going to conclude now. So we have said from Jesus' teaching, singleness is not the norm because the norm is male and female getting married. Singleness is good. We'd have to say good for what? And number three, singleness is good if we are so gifted, obviously. Number four, this giftedness for singleness, it's not like you carry a gift in your pocket or you say, Zap, I know I have the gift to be single. I think there are people like this. Let me give you another example. I'm trying to think if anybody in this room ever met them. Now, you met him, Grant Rice. Grant Rice, you know, he had part of the founding of this church. Grant Rice was kind of an oddball, in my opinion. Not a bad guy, just a little weird. I'm not going to demonstrate how weird. Grant Rice's wife died. And Grant Rice did not have the gift of singleness. He's one of those guys that went off the bubble a little bit. He met a lady in a church he had started 50 years before. The woman had been single her whole life. I don't know how old she was. You remember when we met them? We actually stayed with them. You know what? She'd been single 50 to 60 years, married Grant Rice, and they were together. He went home to be with the Lord. She went home to be with the Lord later. By the way, I think that's a beautiful thing, friend. I don't think this is something that has to happen for life. But please, don't tell children what's wrong with you. You're 21. Aren't you thinking you're getting a little old? And I'm not saying to put off marriage. I'm saying to think through this. Number five, singleness obviously must be received as a gift. It's interesting that Jesus uses language that is not the normal language to receive, which would be dekomai, or to welcome something. So it's like somebody brings you a gift. Normally you would use dekomai, one of those kind of words, which means to receive or to welcome something, which is normal. He uses a word that we get horizons from. And actually he uses it three separate times. Read the passage with me. He said, but he said unto them, all men cannot receive. And there is that word, chareo, which means this, to make room. And secondarily, to receive. Otherwise, you've got this gift and you don't want the gift, but you're going to make room in your life for the gift. Jesus is saying, not everybody can make room in their life for being single. It's just not possible. They're not gifted in that way. Well, at the end of verse 12, he then ends and concludes this section, and I will end and conclude, by using the same word again, twice. He says in English, he that is able, that has the ability, dunamai, you know, you have that ability. He that is able to receive it, or if I could say it this way, just so you understand, here's your life, look up here, here's your life, he or she that's able to make room to be single, well, make room to be single. It's not a bad thing. If you're able to do that, if you're not able to do that, get married. Paul's going to say almost the same thing in 1 Corinthians 7. So what do we learn tonight? Let's do this. Let's stand. What have we learned tonight? Jesus and Paul were what? All people? Most of us. And in eternity, how many of us will be married? So be careful with pushing people. Look at me, or forbidding people. I'm happy when people get married in good circumstances. I will say this, when your children leave this, and we got kids in this room, they're going to go to college real soon. The moment they get away from here, the problems they're going to have are not deep problems. Relationships. And I'd like to know why this one, and I don't know why. Booze. Why does every stinking young American think drinking makes you cool?
You grew up in an environment where we don't drink. And then you mix relationships with drinking, and guess what happens? Good things? Your children ought to know, being single is okay. And I'm going to say this next week. Look at me. Being single through college or training or education is just almost essential. You're not there for dating time. You're there to build your life, to prepare yourself, to become what God wants you to become. Marriage will be all right. It'll happen in due time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. I tried to share the text. I don't know why some churches want to force everybody into getting married as soon as possible, and why other people think marriage is evil. Marriage is good. It's beautiful. It's the norm. Singleness is very good at the right time, in its place, for the right purposes. Help us to hear and help the adults in this room to realize the stuff they say matters. People actually listen. Actually, they usually overhear when we're speaking. Help us to be speaking truth and not silliness. In Christ's name, amen.